And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministry program. This is Dr. T, one of your hosts. Ever since I was young, I got converted when I was 14 years old. I always wondered, what is it about overseas Christianity that makes it so powerful? I also observed when I was overseas in different countries. I was in over 40 countries thus far. And I observed when I'm with those Christians, not only that they seem to have more power and more faith, but the way they live seems to be more aligned with how I would understand it from the gospel. There seems to be more love amongst them. There seems to be more of a fellowship amongst them. You don't have to really entice them to fellowship. They do it by nature. And I often wondered why this is the case. And so eventually we started a ministry that really this radio program is a part of it. We also have a website, which is truth2wellness.com. No spaces, no numbers, just truth2wellness.com. And you can see there are some other aspects of our church. We're still building it. We choose to feature three missionaries, and that is intentional. We know a whole lot more, but we don't want to feature too many. These are the three that we feel are the most critical and sacrificing the most. And so you will see them and some of their stories. And soon enough, we'll start having them populating some of the information there as much as security allows. What we are trying to do here is bring in to you, the listener, a feeling of what overseas Christianity is. What is it like to be persecuted? Why do Christians suffer persecution? Not only that, but they don't seem to be falling away. They don't seem to be diminished. They seem to be growing. Why is this the case? And we have found that there are different aspects about teaching and learning that they uphold over there more so than we do here. Here, we don't necessarily uphold the same things. And again, I'm careful not to dash our beliefs down, but the thing is, the fact is that there are some differences. And we have talked, and if you go to our website and go to radio program and to the current season, which is season 3, you will see the different topics that we talked about. We had Pastor Howard featured here. We'll have him some more later. We also had different thoughts on there, such as word and science, Moses, and how does that compare to medical knowledge today. And that's intriguing, really absolutely amazing, the advice that God gave them, how true medically that advice was. And then we talk about Holy Spirit. We talk also about the grace and what it means to have grace and how we really can't live without grace. But grace is more being adopted into a new family. And some people may be mistaken. It's definitely not a get-out-of-jail-free card to go ahead and live how we want to live. In fact, anybody doing that testifies to me that they don't have the grace. So that is something else that we talked about, and you can see it on our website. But today I would like to start a short series on faith and fear. I find that here in U.S., we talk very strong and very well about the gospel. And I think many people mean it. I don't mean it that way. But we talk very powerfully about it, but we live very much in a way that is often troubled by fear, by how will things come out? How will the future roll out? Will the future affect us this? Will I have enough money and all that kind of stuff? It's amazing, but when you're being persecuted, it's interesting how those things don't seem to play a role. And then one of the things that happens when persecution occurs is that the Lord seems to show himself. And he seems to start doing things. doing things in your life, and His Spirit starts to move. And once you have that experience, many of these fears fall away. So we are going to start talking about what does that mean, and why does God not want us to walk in fear? Some people think that we are humble when we walk in fear. There is no humility in fear. In fact, fear shows me that we have no faith, and faith is what brings humility. It's amazing, but those things actually often work in reverse from what you will see in a religious establishment or a religious church, especially a church that maybe doesn't uphold the word as much as it should. So we will talk about it, but before we go into that, I would like us to play one of my favorite songs. Song is Raise a Hallelujah by Bethel. And this song was actually developed or written when they had a problem with a young boy. As far as I understand, I wasn't involved with it. And they had a problem with a young boy. And I think the words of this song really, really speak. They speak at least to my heart. And it is my hope and my belief that these words will sing and speak to you. Here we go.
In the presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight.
What a wonderful song. Definitely, first time I heard that song, I just fell in love with it. I would like to have you read, if you have Bible close to you, and if not, just go ahead and listen to the words from Matthew 10:28, where Jesus said, "Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, it's kind of interesting that he said, "Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul." Who is he talking about? This is a scripture that is very important to us overseas. Those of us who are involved with overseas Christianity, those of us who are involved with underground churches, this is a very important scripture, because there are many people there in some countries, they don't have the freedom that we have here. And so there are many people that take the advantage of the existing persecution. Now, I am a little bit concerned that here in U.S., unlike other countries, I think more so we have a habit of choosing and picking what words we like to take from the Bible and which ones we don't have to worry about. I don't find that to be the case in other countries as much, and frankly, I don't find that to be biblically supported. So here Jesus said, "Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul." This is a straight instruction from him. This is not something that we can go and say, "Well, you know, that's okay. He just wanted to encourage us. It's all right. You can, you know." That's not what he said here. What he really focused us towards is, don't worry about the physical, but rather think about the spiritual. When I shared this in one church, one person came to me and said, "Well, that means I don't need to carry this gun with me." And I have nothing against guns, but having grown up in Canada, I have nothing for guns either. It's a gun, it's a tool. And I stood in front of many of them in the war zones, and much bigger than most people carry here. But that is true. What he said is, really don't worry about the people who can kill you, affect you physically. He didn't say these people won't kill you. He didn't say they won't have the chance or opportunity. He just said, don't worry about them. And it's kind of interesting, because that goes into face of what we very often think about and say when it comes to its defense and looking after our families and that. And this is a topic for itself, but I think the point that God is trying to show us here is that we need to focus on the spiritual realm, not on the physical. And the word that he uses here, the Greek word, means fear, fright, or give reverence. Now, that last meaning is quite important to me, because give reverence is essentially give respect or give understanding something is more bigger than you, if you will use it that way, to whatever it is that worries us. But I think God wants to have that place in our heart. He wants to have the place where we respect him, not necessarily something else that we come across. Now, we will start a whole series on this, and we'll get much more into it, but I want to just give you a little bit of a taste as to what we're going to talk about. Why is it that Jesus does not want us to have fear, to live in fear, or to walk according to fear? Because fear is a sign of unbelief. But he said unto them, Matthew 8:26, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, believe it or not, this actually happened in my life also, physically. I was in a boat, and the boat was going to capsize. I started praying, and the Lord made it calm, the water so calm that you could actually see uninterrupted shadow. We don't have much time to get into that, but it happened in my life. It's a very dear testimony to me, because I know not only that he can do it again, but he has done it again. But again, there are two things here that he said. Why are you fearful? That was the first question. Oh, you of little faith, why? Why did he say this? He needed to address the one issue that was standing in between them and the miracle. the calming of the sea, and that was their fear. What is standing between you and your miracle? Most likely, if you take a look at it, it will be fear. It will be fear in some form or some place in terms of whatever you're facing. As I studied this, I came to realize, and you will see us going through this more as we get started with the series, I came to realize that you cannot have faith and fear at the same time. This also makes sense, because if you think about who it is you believe, if you think about who is your God, then if you really believe that He is almighty, all-powerful, not just something that we say with our words, but if you actually believe it, then there should be no space for fear. Fear is a presence or admission that we don't have faith. We feel like we have nothing that we can do about it, about the situation, that is not possible to deal with that situation, and we feel hopeless. God doesn't want us to be hopeless. Instead, He wants us to be of faith, of believing in Him. And in fact, it says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Now here we can see another element of faith, that is that there are two aspects to it. One is you must believe that He exists, and secondly, you must believe that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. That's an interesting aspect. This is the aspect that takes the fear out of our lives. Because if you believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, that means you believe in a relationship. What this word is showing us here is that God wants to have a relationship with us. He doesn't want the kind of faith that says, yeah, there is a God somewhere up there, and He is watching all these millions of people, and so He sees me. That's not what He's looking for. He's looking for the kind of faith that says, I have a Father up there, and He knows me. He knows what I'm looking for, what I like, what I don't like. It's that relationship. That is the faith that kicks out fear. So you see, by having fear, we demonstrate that we don't have the faith that it requires to please Him. Again, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. This is Hebrews 11:6. So this is something to keep in mind. I'm going to go to another song here. As we listen to We Want to See Jesus Lifted Up, I'd like you to just think about your relationship and where that relationship is with God. Here we go.
Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. We want to see Him. We want to see Him, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see Him, we want to see Him, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see Jesus lifted high. Truth and know He is the way to heaven. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. We want to see Him, we want to see Him, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see Him, we want to see Him, we want to see Jesus lifted high. Step by step, we're moving forward, little by little, taking
Yes, indeed, we want to see Jesus lifted up. And this is one of the reasons why we are discussing a relationship and trying to understand why is it that God wants to have a relationship with us. As I travel across the globe, I came to realize that this is probably one of the main things that differentiates our Christianity in the Western world, where we don't have persecution with the Christianity that I see in some of the countries. And keep in mind, I actually have been arrested a couple of times for preaching the gospel, not for doing anything wrong, but for preaching the gospel. And it's kind of interesting how you see God move even in those small situations compared to other people that and the things I heard they have gone through. So we talked about God wanting to have a relationship with us, that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Remember Hebrews 11:6. And we also know that without having that relationship, it's not possible to please him. So now let's take a look. Let's take a look at some other places in the Bible that shows and talks about our attitude towards God in terms of relationship and fear. In Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Now, it's kind of interesting. It says, be anxious for nothing. Why? Because we are walking in faith, remember? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, meaning staying in relationship with God, with thanksgiving, with a positive heart, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds for Jesus Christ. Did you ever wonder what they would guard our hearts and minds from? If you take a look at our media and our political situation and everything that's happening, I think you get a little bit of that answer right there. See, the fear opens the door for all these other things, for lack of peace and frustration and bitterness and everything else. And we've seen plenty of that in this country lately. It opens the door. So rather than blaming them, we need to think and say, why is that this door open? And it is because we are anxious. And Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Likewise, Matthew 6:25, it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." That's what Jesus said. Then in Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content in such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. Notice this. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? So we can see that definitely this is not even up for debate. The Lord does not want us to be engaged in fear or having a fearful heart. Why? And we will go through all of this in depth. I just want to give you a little bit of a teaser what we will talk about. Because he wants us to stay away from fear, away from the legalistic life, into a different life. Let me read in Romans 8:15 where it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Again, let's read this very, very carefully. "You did not receive the spirit of bondage." Bondage, as we know from previous study, referring to the law. "Again to fear." So we can notice from this that if we walk in fear, we are still in that legalistic spirit of bondage. We are still trying to do things with our own strength. We're trying to do things with our own might. But he said, instead, you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We will touch on this again, but this is the end purpose of the mystery of the gospel. For us to have a spirit of adoption, essentially to be adopted, so that we can say, Abba, Father, Abba meaning daddy. Essentially, that is really where God wants us to be. And notice a couple things. One is, adoption, when it's done, is not reversible. Secondly, adoption is not done because you or I are somehow better than the guys around us. It is simply because he loved us. So this is very important to understand, that God wants us to walk away from fear, walk in faith, that those two cannot coincide because we have a relationship. If we don't have a relationship, everything we will do, it will not work out in terms of that walking in faith. We may fake it, we may pretend it, we may walk with our shoulders up high into church, but that's not the faith that he is referring to. The faith that he is referring to comes from being able to say, Abba, Father. Notice that. When you're able to say in your heart, the way he wants you to say it, say, Abba, Father, my Father, my Daddy, Father. That is the level he wants us to be at. So with this, I would like to invite you to join us for our upcoming series. We will talk about fear. We will talk about faith. And we will talk about also how love is carried in that, in terms of a relationship and becoming a child that can say, Abba, Father. I'm not talking about joining any church. You notice I don't even talk to any church in this program. What I want to bring to as many as will hear is the difference between Christianity that we have here and the Christianity that I've seen that's willing to die for him. And with that in mind, I hope and pray that you will be able to also call him and say, Abba, Father, and have that relationship with him. Join us for the next couple weeks as we will study this. If you miss any, they're available on our website, truth2wellness.com. God bless you all.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.